Friends, what we just have read out of Isaiah 6, what we have seen and heard and is spoken of, is overwhelming. And the experience is deeply humbling and beyond expectation. And yet, being sent, there is a readiness to serve. Here I am. Send me. It is overwhelming by the Lord's presence, his triple holiness and earth-filling glory, and the experience that your own deep, humbling uncleanness, totally undone, but also sacrificial forgiveness beyond what you deserve and what is expected. And therefore will you and I, as faculty, as students, as staff, will you answer the Lord's call at the beginning of this semester, his commission, when he calls you, whom shall I send and who go for us? Will you say, here I am, send me? And this is the passage of Isaiah, which is the basis of our chapel meditation here at the beginning of this semester. In fact, it is the living word of the living God speaking us to us who are alive. And it shows us in those first 8 verses 4 encounters. An encounter with God, an encounter with ourselves, an encounter with Christ, and in the 4th place, an encounter with this world. In the first place then, an encounter with God. In the year that King Uzziah died, so the chapter opens in verse 1. Francis speaks of uncertain times, of unsettling times. Not only it speaks of political instability and crisis, a time of transition of power, possibly a crisis in the family as well, as the Jewish Talmud states that Isaiah was a cousin of Uzziah, belonged to the royal house, to the upper class family, an influential advisor to the king, probably a record keeper, as 2 Chronicles 26 record. In that year, when an earthly king died, not on the throne anymore, and then to see the living king, the king of heaven and earth, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train, that is the hem of his robe, filled the temple, and the house was filled with smoke. It is an encounter of God's presence, like his presence was shown on Mount Sinai, filled with smoke. And in such unprecedented times, such uncertain times, such unsettling times, I saw the Lord, the Adonai, the Sovereign Lord. And it is only him and the only living one who reigns and rules this world, the nations, but also your and my life. I saw the Lord. Friends, don't we need to see that vision for today, in our times? Not the circumstances and the challenges of your life, not the turmoil of our time, but a fresh experience of the Lord, also at the beginning of this semester. Nothing more is necessary. A reminder, there is a God in heaven who is, and who is to be worshipped and to be served. A fresh experience. Not only God as a theological concept, but as a living reality. A new understanding of a holy God and the holiness of God. A taste of his majesty. And if you have already this taste, may the Lord satisfy your head and heart and soul with this vision more deeply than ever before. That is encountered here in the words of Isaiah 6. Overwhelmed by God's holiness and glory. Friends, it reprioritizes your life. A reorientation takes place. A redirection from myself to God, the living God, and to him alone. Because of the radical beauty, majesty, and infinite holy and glory of the Lord. The angels, the seraphims, they cover themselves. And in adoration they speak, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Language is pushing itself to its limits of usefulness here, expressing the depth and the intensity of this blazing holiness. It is elevated to the third degree. This mysterium tremendum. As the late R.C. Sproul wrote in his famed book, The Holiness of God, only once is a characteristic of God mentioned three times in succession. The Bible never speaks of God as love, 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 of mercy, 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 or justice, 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 not even merely holy. Or even holy, holy. But does he say he is holy, holy, holy. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And of the sound of that is trembling, is shaking. And the post of the door moved. The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him that called, that cried. That beauty of holiness. It shows the ultimate glory and weight of first priority. So it was for the angels, God's servants. They serve the Lord for who he is. Fully and completely oriented and directed to him. Not a cost-benefit analysis, not because they seek approval or significance, but for who God is. An angel would terrify us today with his brilliance and power. But the angels themselves hide in holy fear and reverence from the splendor of God. He is continually revered, his holiness and glory are attractive and praiseworthy. And this encounter with God's holiness and glory, changes everything. When you drop an object in the water quakes, the water is shaken. And so God's holiness and glory shakes when it comes into your life. Compared to anything else, only God matters. That is what happens when you encounter him. That is the difference between God as a concept and God as a reality. Hey, you can study about God and maybe Isaiah would acknowledge there is a God, but now it becomes a reality. I saw also the Lord. And such an encounter of God's overwhelming presence works in you a radical humility, an encounter with yourself. The text says, then I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am ruined, or I am silenced. God's encounter is a confrontation with yourself. God's encounter of his holiness and glory is so penetrating that it shows my unholiness, my sin and my shortcomings through and through, more than an x-ray. My whole being is dismantled. I am exposed when God's presence in his holiness and glory is disclosed. It exposes you, who you really are. What is happening here? I recently spoke with someone who had studied at Juilliard School of Music. School of Music is one of those famed and prestigious music schools in the United States. And in his hometown church, he was known as the one for his exceptional musical gifts. And he started to believe himself that he was an outstanding musician till he arrived at Juilliard in New York. And not only he did discover that he was not the only one, but that there were many other exceptional music students as well. In fact, he noted that he was but a mediocre student compared with the others. This encounter showed him who he was. Well, let me get closer to home. Maybe you were the only one in your church or in your community that the Lord called into the ministry. And for some of you, maybe the only one to study in the United States and then at PRTS. You are that special, you were told, or so you thought, only to discover upon arrival that you are not the only one who is called and has gifts and has talents, only to discover that maybe some of the other students are smarter than you and in practice preaching do much better than you. An encounter which shows who you really are, even in your weakness and in your shortcomings. Friends, much more happens here in Isaiah 6. Isaiah comes into the temple, a man, an advisor to the king, intellectual, cultural, literary person who writes a book that is still being read after 2,500 years later. A man of lips, a man of communication. And then Uzziah dies. Everything is falling apart. Is challenged till you come in the presence of God and his holiness. And you see who you really are. Not over there, but here. For I am undone. Lost. I am silenced. Even my lips, my ability to speak, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I am part of the problem. You are not better than the person next to you. That is what happens when you encounter the Lord in your life. When he moves from a concept in your life to a reality, it works in radical humility. Woe is me. Job encountered this. Job 42, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you, and therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Peter, the same way, Luke 5, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This encounter of yourself in the light of God's awesome presence, it makes you honest before God and confess, now I see I'm a sinner. I despise myself. I have unclean lips. And you begin to see that you are capable of things you don't want to hear about. But you also see your great need to be rescued a purging of your sin, and taken away of your iniquity. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Mine eyes have seen Christ. That is what John 12 reminds us of Christ's preaching, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report? These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. When you see yourself in your uncleanness, your sin and shortcomings, your flaws and failings, when you encounter yourself who you really are, when you encounter God in his holiness and purity and without sin, in his glory, that throne high and lifted up is a throne of judgment. And seeing the angel with a coal of fire, one thing remains which you deserve, judgment. And yet what do we read? After Isaiah's confession, repenting humility, immediately the next verse states, verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a life, a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for, not consumed, but cleansed by fire. The throne of judgment is a throne of grace. And your unclean lips, they have been touched. Your guilt is taken away. And your sin is atoned for. How is that possible? Only because centuries later, as we read in Matthew 27, there was also a quake, an earthquake, and a shaking temple. And there was a cry, my soul is sorrowful, woe to me, undone. But there was no angel. But the wrath of the Father over the sin, where it was Christ who bare the sins of his people, nailed them to the cross, where it Christ himself is the sacrifice. That is the gospel this morning, the gospel of the glory of Christ. As the apostle says in 2 Corinthians 4, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, meaning Christ was displaying his glory on the cross, and he was glorious on the cross as he was paying the price for his people, a price that you and I never could pay. This great price in his great love, our sins are purged, atoned for. We can be forgiven. Our guilt is taken away. Friends, when you know this in your life, of this encounter with God and yourself, and this encounter with Christ, an encounter with Christ, deeply experiential, realizing that he took the wrath of God, a wrath that you and I deserved, and that you realize, also at the beginning of this semester, we did not deserve anything. But he gave everything, his son Christ and him alone, who left a place of glory and his holiness, who lived a life that you and I should have lived. And he died a death that you and I deserve and should have died. And you realize Christ, supremely loved by his Father, left heaven for earth to bring his people to himself from earth to heaven. Christ who emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. When you realize that, when you have experienced that, and I don't speak about the profundity of it, but the principle. And the question comes then to you this morning, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Will you not answer then? Here am I. Send me. Oh, disproportional as it may be, compared what he has done. Will you not answer the Lord's call? His commission, willingly and readily, hearing the voice of the Lord this morning, whom shall I send? Here am I. Send me. And that gives, in the fourth place, an encounter with the world. Our last point. Cleansed and sanctified for a purpose. To go forth as a witness to the living word of God in this world. Yes, and there may be among us, like Moses, who make excuses. I am not good enough. I don't have all the answers. People won't believe me. I'm a terrible public speaker. I'm not qualified. Or Jeremiah feels too young and cannot speak. Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And like Isaiah here in chapter 6 echoes this sentiment, and you and I may have this at times as well, I am a man of unclean lips. Oh friends, remember, each call of the Lord begins with an impossibility from our side. And yet we read here in verse 8, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? And the answer is, here am I. Send me. There is an availability. Here I am. There is a readiness to serve. To be sent forth into the world. To be sent on a mission. Whatever comes, God is more real than my needs. Are you available? Are you available? Even when the prospect of the vocation is not that hopeful. Eh? And the verses 9 and 10, go and say to these people, keep on hearing, but they do not understand. Keep on seeing, but they do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes. And you recognize the same verb used in the opening chapters, to say, to hear and to see. But such a different outcome that can be encountered in this world, preaching the gospel. But the question is and remains, even with all your shortcomings and impossibilities, are you available? Here I am. But also, is there a dependability? Yeah, Isaiah's needs are not so important than God. Lord, how long, the prophet asked in verse 11. Yeah, his ministry is not worked around his needs. And so is God's glory more important to you than anything else? Or does your ministry revolve around you and your schedule and your priorities? Is his kingdom and God's approval and favor more important than building for yourself a name and seeking the admiration of people? And seeking their approval. And seeking your own glory. Is the dependability total dependent on your sender, God in Christ, that makes you best suited for ministry, most useful in this world? But also this, here I am, send me. It means also a ministry with expectation. Verse 13, but yet, there is seed. To be in ministry with that perspective, God will bring fruit upon your work in his way and in his time, even when you do not see it, and at times that you think no one needs you. Remember, the future glory of the true Israel is his work. So the book of Isaiah ends. And therefore the God of holiness is also your God of hope. Here I am. Send me. And therefore give yourself with reverence, with humility, with readiness and willingness to serve. Yes, this call, the ministry can be overwhelming and the experience deeply humbling, but also to willingly to pastor, to preach and to teach with great expectation. Does not the Heidelberg Catechism say on the Lord's Prayer in question 124, what is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which only is good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties in his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. These angels, here in Isaiah 6, they cover their face, showing reverence. They cover their feet, showing humility. And they did fly, showing their immediate availability and readiness to serve. Friends, do we have this servant attitude? Having this fruit in our life, shaped by the radical call of the gospel to be served by Jesus as we serve others. And in such way, your service is not a patch for morality, but it is Christ-centered and dependent, serving generously and serving sacrificially. Send me. And if you are like Moses, remember, it is the great I Am who sent you. The covenant-keeping Yahweh has called you and sent you. That is his firm promise in his word. And if you like Jeremiah, the Lord reminds you this morning, encourages you, promises with his own word, say not, I am a child, for you shall go to all that I send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. And if you like Isaiah, how do we need daily to be touched by a call of the altar? In the beginning of the day, taking up your studies, in teaching, seeing upon yourself, you have to say, I am undone. But now being ministered by Christ, finished and complete sacrifice, to live out of him, to live for him, so that you can say each day and throughout all the days of our life, here I am. Send me. Oh, friends, imitate him. He is your substitute. He is your savior. He is your glory. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, will bless your own word to our hearts and life, that we truly are Christ-like and imitate you in our ministry that you have entrusted to us in our studies, in our teaching, and wherever you will send us. Bless your own word, that we may meditate upon it, and direct us to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.